Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Black Coffee Show with your host, Black Coffee, and your co-host, me, The Next Level, on WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio. We're coming to you every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be keeping you up to date on current events and love and relationships. No chasers, no fillers. This is definitely classy grown folks radio, y'all. So tune in, or if you want to get involved with the conversation or just listen, call in at 516-387-1251. Black coffee, y'all. So sweet, she don't even need no sugar.
Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kinda love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
History. On this day, 12009, seemingly roots grow tall like vines. For on this day, history has been made. For all pain and struggle should be buried in the grave. History is today to have seen it in such a beautiful way. Millions of people stand around to a man with powerful word of sound. At the top of the land to have a king, I pledge to say I have a dream. History, a great inspiration that builds up the nation throughout generations. As a black man to stand proud and free that steadily keeps building up his family tree. A black president, we ask, how could this be? It's the faith in God that dwells on thee. From a small place to a big valley, his shall come in such a great rally. From a small river to a big ocean, his shall flow with such a great motion. History is today, no matter circumstance or situation. History is here to stay. A bad man in a bad situation. Success is screened for our nation. Barack Obama, an achieving man, our 44th president, yes we can.
Good evening, and welcome to Black Coffee Talk. We are coming to you again this evening with a very important topic. We're down to the final stretch of this presidential election season, and it's coming down to the wire. Some of us have already voted in early voting. I am one of those. And tonight we want to have a breakdown of the final presidential debate that took place on Wednesday. I want to first off welcome another party who is on the line. 229-881, would you please come in, introduce yourself, and tell us where you're calling from?
Good evening, Black Coffee, once again. Thank you for having me here and being involved in this forum. I'm Victor Singleton. Some of the callers may recognize my name, I don't know, but I'm from Albany, Georgia, and, of course, we grew up together. So thank you for having me once again.
Oh, of course. I always welcome intelligence to the show, and especially when it's coming from a place near and dear to my heart, my hometown. So I also would like to have my producer introduce herself. She is also on to talk with us this evening. And after she introduces herself, I will, of course, give the disclaimer. But go right ahead. Go right ahead, Karima. Introduce yourself.
Okay. So, hey, you don't have to do a disclaimer. I've been looking at the debate online. It's ain't nothing new. If Trump didn't disclaim himself, you don't need to disclaim anything. I wanted to just kind of let y'all know that this is going to be a great show. I never seen it like it before. So you guys can come to the show page, click on the LA Times transcript. It is horrifying. Then, you know, we're talking about this man. You know, this man is supposed to be the president of the United States. They showed up. I don't get it, but I'm here. I'm here, and I would like to join the discussion tonight because somebody like me need to be on, because I tell you, it's crazy. I'm here. The evaluation period, yeah, somebody need to talk about it. It was horrible. I felt like it was inside some kind of, I don't know, it couldn't have been, it's embarrassing. oh, my God, it was embarrassing. So I'm ready. Let go.
During the debate, and some of them were so interesting. So we're going to kind of volley those around. Are you ready, Victor?
Yes, I'm ready, Jack.
Well, Karima, are you ready?
Oh yeah, I'm ready. I'm armed and dangerous. I got the mouse in one hand and a drink in the other. This stuff makes me, I mean, good gracious alive. They talk about us.
Well,
boy, they got. I'm glad it wasn't our people. As I, you know, I ain't trying to be funny, but you ever be watching the news, and the only thing black people can say is, "Oh my God, please make sure they ain't black. Please make sure they ain't black. Please don't be black." I'm so happy. Some white folks on there acting a donkey. I don't even know what to tell y'all. That's all I can say. I'm not prejudiced, but I just thank God it ain't us.
Well, I will say from the orange hue of his skin, he's not one of them either.
Well, I think Jack, I think he's one of them. He's just trying, like a lot of them, trying to be one of us in appearance.
Okay. And the fact that there's no true melanin isn't working for him, I don't think.
That's right.
He's just getting an orange tone.
That's about it.
Okay. Well, he is dressed for the season, actually. A pumpkin is orange as well. So,
oh, man. Oh wow! Okay.
So you know, I'm trying to be a moderator and not a comedian. You guys are not making that easy for me at this point.
This is gonna be good material for you, though. It's gonna be very good material.
definitely. And some of these facts that we're checking are going to be good material for me as well. First, I want to check and see have we had any other callers that called in during this time? Do we have anybody else on the line? Okay. Didn't want to leave anybody out as I read this first fact check. Trump said the election is rigged because he's behind. Now, according to the NBC News fact checkers, they say it's not. Trump claims widespread voter fraud, but the data says an investigation of 1 billion ballots cast over more than a decade found just 31 out of a billion, 31 credible incidents of voter fraud.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, yeah. That was an incorrect statement. Now, why do y'all think he's claiming voter fraud at this point?
Well, Jack, I mean, when you're in a losing race and you know that you're in a losing race, we've had this occur in Olympic racing before. If you remember, Carl Lewis lost the Olympic gold to Ben Johnson from Canada 1 year. And before the race was even over, before he got to the finish line, he was saying that Johnson was on some kind of steroid enhancing, performance enhancing drug before it was even over, because he knew he was in a losing race when they took off. So I think Trump is getting down now that he knows he's in a losing race, so of course he's going to pull out any stops he can. That's why he was trying to throw up so many smoke screens throughout this entire campaign to not answer the questions that were posed towards him, as far as how are you going to make America great, which is the big topic on that side of the house. But he never could say how. So instead of answering that question, he would always go to something that was wrong with Hillary, or wrong with Hillary's husband, or even wrong with President Barack Obama, throwing up a lot of smoke screens. So now he's down to his last card. He's down to his last card, and now he's saying that I got to put it on the election itself, that it is rigged. We've had rigged elections before, and they never complained then. Matter of fact, when we complained about it, when they had the Chads down in Florida, then they said we were wrong.
Yeah,
until
the
it was absolutely out.
Incident.
Absolutely. So it was okay then, but now it's not okay with him now. So he's just pulling out all stops to say, to find a reason to have a hung jury, so to speak, or a mistrial of some sort. I don't know how he thinks it's going to benefit him, but he's just trying to make Hillary look bad at this point. And he's doing a bad job doing it.
He's trying to do more than that. I mean, what he's doing is he is President Obama stated it, you know, pretty much in layman's terms. You're really telling the whole world, where we talk about democracy and casting fair votes and being able to have a succession that's smooth and transitional. He's telling the whole world, he's embarrassing the entire country, the entire system of government, that everybody that has ever won an election has stolen it. He's criticizing voter fraud as being something that is common. Like Black Coffee said, it's not that common. You know, he criticizes the fact that something like this, so horrendous, could be out there for the whole world to see. And He, you know, this man, like you said, was, you know, I actually married somebody like this. They never could talk about what the hell they doing wrong, but they always can point out yours. Instead of working on that orange damn pen he got, you know, you know, I mean, you just whining. President Obama tells Trump stop whining and try to discredit the election. He said that on October 18th. You know, people are saying, you know, man up. I don't understand it. It's really very embarrassing to not just should be the Republican Party, but anybody that's ever held office. You know, it's just ridiculous. And this is who the Republican Party actually nominated. You know, so come on.
You sound very frustrated at this point, Karima. You sound quite frustrated, and I understand. And you know, another thing, I'm saying frustrated with the nominee, but
I'm not frustrated with him. He's doing his job. He is really short. No, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm gonna leave that on. Go ahead.
I think I understand what you're saying.
Yes, I do too.
But you know, also on that point, the calling the election rigged, you know, at this point, he also brought out that Al Gore, what you were talking about with the hanging chads, when he accused Al Gore of some of his pundits as well said that Al Gore challenged the election process. And that, in fact, is not what happened. Al Gore actually held his concession speech until they had finished the recount. He actually was not the one that called for the recount. So, you know, I question some of this throwing up, like you said, Victor, smokescreen and things of that nature, because it's kind of like a magician with sleight of hand on some of these so-called facts that he put forth. I was just made aware that we have another caller joining us, caller from 229-439, would you please introduce yourself?
It's Adrian Woods. Calling from Albany. Calling from a different number.
Hi there.
Hi. I was listening to the comments by Karima and Victor, and they're very on point with what they're saying. It's scary that Donald Trump is even a nominee for the presidential election. It's very scary. And it seems like no matter what he does, he doesn't really. No one holds him accountable. He goes on to the next debate like it's nothing, and it's really scary that this man could, you know, slide up into the presidency. I hope he doesn't. But it's very scary that he's even a nominee.
Poll numbers, according to the poll numbers now, Hillary Clinton's leading. Over the margin of error, far over the margin of error. So it looks like she will be ahead if the poll numbers are correct. So, but I did want to, Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg said something that was very interesting, and it was her personal opinion with regard to what she said. I don't want to quote her because I don't have the exact quote at this point in time. But I know she said something about him being a faker, really has an ego, and has no...
Sound very far away.
She said that... he was a faker and talked about his ego, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And this is Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court of the United States. I don't think I have ever heard of a Supreme Court justice speaking out that harshly with regard to a presidential candidate in my life.
Absolutely, you have not.
Normally
they take a neutral stand during these election or campaigning months. They take a neutral stance. It's very rare that you'll hear any Supreme Court judge say anything either way about either candidate. But I think what's happened, Jack, is that everybody's come to the same conclusion. Even the Republicans are looking now. That's why so many of them have backed out of supporting him, is because they figure, hey, this guy, he just kind of sneaked under the radar, even under the Republican radar. And there's no stopping him now. He's there. They can't pull him out. So they're saying what they believe now and what's on their mind now. So they don't have anything to lose with him.
At this point, they don't have anything to lose. You're right.
No.
And other thing I wanted to say is I know he's not going to win, but it's scary to me that he even got as far as he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's scary to me. People forget really quickly, that, you know, money rules the land. And they fail to realize that Hitler didn't have any position in Germany. He was what you call a chancellor, which is not really a political position. But propaganda and using the media, using tricks and things, and the racism of people who are already blaming minorities for their not doing so well in life is a nice way to put it. And you get that combination, and that's when you get, you know, anarchy, because they already looking for something to blame you on. They already looking for something to hate you for. And Trump, the only people that Trump have are those people. Now, the good part about it is most of those types of people don't vote anyway, because they hate the government just as much as they hate us.
They really don't vote.
They really don't. So, I mean, they may be behind him and saying, rah, 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 Donald Trump this or Donald Trump that, but going to the polls is a totally different story. I really believe that the people who are voting for Hillary will be the ones going to the polls. And I'm counting on that.
And I think that's because we're the ones who are the scaredest.
Right.
But,
we need to do it.
Also, you know, there were a few points, you know, just to be fair, that also the fact checkers were kind of on Hillary about. One of them was that she said she opposed a Supreme Court ruling on guns because it overturned the law that was trying to protect toddlers. But the fact checker said it did involve kids, but that's not all the law did. Now, my point is this, with that particular fact, to be fair, she chose one part of that law to oppose it. And she said that was the reason why. Now, they didn't say that she was lying about that being the reason why, but they did say that that wasn't all the law had in it. Now, I have to be honest. To me, that kind of looked like the fact checkers were reaching for something.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm very concerned that, you know, like I said, I'm trying to remain unbiased as we talk about these things, but I too have some very grave concerns with regard to how we're being perceived.
Mm-hmm.
I am told that we have two more callers on the line. I would first like 404-695 to introduce themselves and welcome to the discussion this evening.
Hi, this is Deborah from Atlanta. I just joined, and so I just want to kind of hear what you guys are talking about. I did watch the debate the other night, and it was very interesting. But I think I'm biased because I am a Hillary supporter, And I think I support Hillary for different reasons. I mean, I do think that she'll continue in, you know, to work in a democratic method. But I also think she's a good role model for girls. I know people say awful things about her, but she's worked so hard to get where she is. And despite what they call her, nasty woman, I think Hillary's a good role model for us, for our young girls.
Okay. And you know, I'm trying to remain unbiased. However, I think some of that is coming out. So I will call in our political coordinator, Ms. Patricia Hunt. Hi, Ms. Hunt. How are you this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
And
I want to echo.
Your voice.
Thank you, darling. I want to echo the comment that the recent caller just made, that Hillary Clinton is a good role model for our daughters. She's an excellent woman. And Donald Trump and his supporters have made it their business to denigrate her during this campaign. Their main goal was to discredit her completely. Now, I want to tell you this. They have they've done a job on her reputation, because she is really widely known as one of the most excellent politicians going. She
yes.
is very excellent at getting the Republicans to work with her to get bills passed in the Senate when she worked in the Senate. And she's accustomed to working across the aisle to get things done. And the Republicans knew they were going to have a hard time if she ran for president. And so they set as their primary goal to discredit her.
Uh-huh.
Just like they set as their primary goal to stop Barack Obama. They are quoted as saying that their main goal was to see to it that Barack Obama didn't get any support from them in the Senate and the House.
Uh-huh.
And
yep.
they succeeded at that. But Barack Obama went around them wherever he could.
Mm-hmm.
Then they accused him of being a dictator because he used his executive power.
Absolutely.
He still didn't use his executive power as much as Ronald Reagan did when he was in the White House.
Exactly.
And he hasn't used his executive power as much as Ronald Reagan did, and no one called him a dictator.
And you know, for
so there's
me,
a double standard.
Definitely. And for me, you know, what some one of the things, because I am, as I don't know if you're able to tell to the audience and to the panel, I am a reader. I like to find out information
mm-hmm.
and take a look at things. A lot of the things that they are blaming and saying are a failure during President Obama's tenure has been things like calling the health care reform a failure. Well, from what I've read, and I am by no means a political pundit, my degree is not in political science. However, from what I was able to discern, the failure part of Obamacare is actually the part that they took and turned around and kind of sabotaged what he had put forth in the first place.
That's exactly what they did.
And so what they're calling a failure is actually the portion that they had their hands in.
That's right.
But that was
funny.
But Black Hawk, that was by design.
Mm-hmm.
They knew everything that they put their hands in, that they turned around, changed, that it would make it seem as if his plan, his total plan, was a failure. But just like you said, only the portion of that plan that they had control of, took out, changed, that is the only portion of it that failed. But they designed it to fail like that, just to say a portion of his plan failed.
Right.
And let's be honest, you know, what this more so than Donald for me, and this is where I get a little personal, because as Victor, you can probably attest, and a couple of more people on the line can probably attest, I'm one of those, let's get to the bottom of the problem, and we're going to pull the cover off of all the nasty mess. So
that's right.
So in some instances, I've been called a militant, and I wear that crown. But for me, listening to Donald Trump speak, when he uses terms like the blacks, the Hispanics, my black, my Hispanics, when he uses terms of generalization about situations he knows nothing about, and what I mean by that is he has never lived a day where he was not rich. And he uses these generalizations and these disparaging comments about lack of education for those of us of color and, you know, poverty and violence, and not knowing that the he uses it as if he doesn't know that there is a section of the population with melanin in their skin where we don't live like that.
That's right.
And what
he uses those terms, the blacks, the Hispanics, because he views us as separate from him and his species, I guess.
It sounds like he views us as the objects.
Yeah, but not only that.
Right.
I think he uses those terms in that manner is because he has no connection with the blacks or the Hispanics. So he does not know how to use a term to address a subject or directly a person with melanin in their skin. He doesn't know how to interact with those people. Either in person or through some other type of medium, and he's kind of out in the water with no boat, no paddle, no nothing, and he thinks he's doing it right.
And you know, the funny thing is, those that he has interacted with have been in his castle. So the individual,
I mean, Ben Carson, I'll say it.
Yeah, Chad, not just him, but Omarosa and all the rest of them. They have come to him, so they had to adjust to him. He's never had to adjust to anybody.
Right.
He's never he's never had
and he's
to.
Not gonna.
Uh-uh.
Those members had to change their stripes.
Right.
Yeah.
He's always gonna
and
have his views, his point of views, and if it's not his way of thinking, then it's incorrect, and you're a liar.
That's right.
So.
And if we think about it, that's very scary when it comes to foreign policy.
Yes. Well, he is attacking this
domestic
campaign just as he's
very scary.
And I really want to hear more on that point from Ms. Patricia Hunt. I would like to say that we have on the line with us an Emmy Award winning reporter, news reporter. So I'm very interested to hear
Wait a minute.
Have to
I want to correct you there. I was nominated to win an Emmy.
I'm sorry.
But I did not win the Emmy. I was nominated.
Oh, okay.
So I
and see, that's what you call integrity.
I did not win the Emmy.
See, she doesn't mean I would have just let you say
integrity.
It.
That's what you call integrity. Well, you know what? You know what?
I don't have any.
Mrs. Hunt, it is a honor indeed that you were even nominated and
right.
deemed
yes.
to be on this show. So I truly appreciate it. I appreciate the work that you have done, and I am truly honored as a Black woman who hopes to follow in your footsteps.
Bless your heart. That's very kind of you. But you were talking about Donald Trump and what a threat he is to international affairs. In domestic affairs, he's a threat to
mm-hmm.
the country.
Definitely.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I mean, it's scary that he was
you.
Able to even come this far in 2016.
Yes, it is.
That he was able to come
yes.
this far and have as many people. I know he's not going to be elected. I have total faith that he won't be elected. But the fact that he came as far as he did.
If we
and,
get out to the polls, and I've got
to right, if we
this,
get out to the polls, that's the key.
Yes, we've got to get out to the polls. We've got
to
go vote.
Have
I
to.
Voted today. I'm registered to vote in Portland, Oregon. And that's where I am right now. And
wow.
They mailed out, I received my ballot in the mail yesterday, and I filled it out this morning and put it in mail today. So I have voted. And I want to challenge everyone who is listening to get out there and vote. When your time comes, make sure you go and take as many people with you as you can get. And don't just vote for Hillary Clinton. Vote the entire Democratic ticket. Because
exactly.
we've got to get people in the House and in the
right.
Senate who
That's
are going
right.
to support whatever president gets into office.
That's exactly
that
right.
That is one of the weaknesses of Barack Obama's election.
Yes.
We voted for Barack Obama, but we didn't vote for other Democrats.
Right.
And that's when the Republicans took control of both the House and the Senate. There are more Republicans in the Senate and in the House than there are Democrats.
That's right.
And you know, this is something that I've also been saying, Ms. Hunt. I think we as a people lack an understanding of the political system. And many of us thought that casting that vote for President Obama would change everything and that it would give him power. Mm-hmm. But I kept saying, and I will continue to say, that school has rock taught us that there were three branches of government.
Oh, it needs to come back on so bad.
They balance each other. Huh?
It needs to come back on so bad.
Schoolhouse Rock taught me a lot.
Well, they show it all the time early in
the
morning. But I agree totally with Ms. Hunt because the reason why Barack Obama had such a hard time is because it seems that he wanted really badly and that the country really needed was blocked so many times by the House or the Senate. And
right.
It doesn't begin and end just with the president. He's just this is one branch on a tree.
One branch.
He can't get anything done without the support of the House and the Senate. And I know very well a lot of people that I know that vote, they don't vote in their, the so-called local elections or for the state senator, or they don't vote for that because they feel like it's a minor thing, but it's not really minor.
Right.
It's actually
not
branches that hold him up in the White House.
Where we fall short, I tell you where
yes.
we fall short is we will vote for the president, but we don't go down the ballot.
Right.
And vote for all the other.
And you absolutely have
that
to.
Need to be voted on. And then the other thing that we fall short on is we will turn out to vote when we're voting for president. But 2 years from now, we're going to have to vote for senators and Congress people.
Right, yeah.
And that's like an off-season election to us. And we've got to make that election as important, the midterm election, as important as voting for the president. We've got to
because
drill that into our heads. It is as important.
And Mrs. Hunt, I wanted to ask you, as a newscaster and reporter, have you ever seen a candidate like Donald Trump before?
No, I haven't. I tell you what makes Donald Trump so interesting. Now, he has been very careful to tell us that he is rich. He is really rich, is how he likes to put it. He's a billionaire, all right? And he's been wealthy all of his life. He was raised wealthy. His father gave him $1 million to start his first business.
Uh-huh.
And he built a phenomenal company. Phenomenal.
Yes. Yes. On the backs of people that he swindled.
Yes.
Those four bankruptcies that he underwent. There were a lot of people who got hurt.
Sure did.
Who did not get paid working for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Lost their businesses.
Yes.
They suffered greatly because of Donald Trump's being involved with Donald Trump. Donald Trump's business made out like a bandit.
Right.
And the thing is, he hasn't paid taxes for the last 18 years.
Not $1.
He hasn't paid federal taxes for the last 18 years.
And that's something that's
not discussed very much.
Well, Warren Buffett called him to heel on that one, because when Warren Buffett, who is much richer than Donald Trump, when Donald Trump called Warren Buffett out saying that he did the same thing, Warren Buffett called his bluff and published his tax returns.
That's right.
But you have to understand too. Donald Trump, he sings the same song every time, especially when he has the camera in front of him and during all of the debates, because he repeated again this week at the debate that Warren Buffett did the same thing, even though weeks ago Warren Buffett said that wasn't true. But everything
and
that he talked about,
it wasn't true.
Right, he brought things back up that had already been disproven, and he spoke again as if it were fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so Donald Trump, he doesn't have any filters. The truth means nothing to him, whether it's proven or disproven. Donald has his own reality, and that's how this country would be run. We would be in bankruptcy because his business practices are not fair. And they're not for the people or for the middle class or the poorer people. It's about Donald, and that's the way the country would be run.
You know,
one thing about Donald Trump that I'd like to say. I was about to say that one thing about Donald Trump that I'd like to say is I am very keen to recognize the one person that he admires so very much is Vladimir Putin.
Yes.
Of Russia. Vladimir Putin
stuff.
Of Russia. Vladimir Putin has become a billionaire. because he bilks money from his country.
Right.
Exactly.
And he operates very much like a dictator.
Right.
And that's what Donald Trump admires most about him. Donald Trump and Mr. Pence. Mr. Pence, his vice presidential candidate.
Yes.
Talk about that Vladimir Putin is more popular among the people of Russia than Barack Obama is among the people of America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because Vladimir Putin runs the country like he is a dictator.
Right.
And if they say they don't like him, then Trump admires
that about him.
Right.
Donald Trump would like to be the dictator in America like Vladimir Putin is a dictator in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Exactly. That's what he wants.
Donald wants to run this country just like he ran his TV show, The Apprentice or whatever that show was. When he gets tired of somebody, he wants to fire them.
Right.
And he wants to do it this country the same way. He wants to handle the Senate, Congress, and anybody else that opposes any of his views or anything that he says. He wants to be in a position where he can just say, I said it, I meant it, and if you don't like it, bye.
Right.
And that's not the way that the vast majority of the people want to run this country.
You know what?
Everybody knows that he will be all powerful if he becomes president.
And that goes to the point everybody knows that I'm not a Bible thumper. However, I am very spiritual, and there are certain points that I want to make with regard to this. There is one scripture, and Victor, you and I talked about, that this reminds me of, and it talks about, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of
a needle.
Amen.
That's right.
and what that scripture is talking about is talking about when you are so rich, you are so up there, you have to stay on your knees and be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Humble yourself.
Yes.
In order to remain connected, in order to remain connected to your soul. And I am sorry, you know, I don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in, but I truly feel from the way this man operates, he does not have a connection to his true soul.
Absolutely, no way. And there are a lot of people out there who don't. I know he's a sociopath and he's a narcissist.
Yeah.
I think that he needs to go somewhere and have several seats. But
not one, but several.
Yeah, several. And I can't understand why women like him and some of the people that are in the group of people that he degrades and denigrates and you know, even sexual assault. I wasn't there, so I'm not going to say he definitely did it, but
well, he said
it shows me that this man has absolutely no regard for women at all.
Well, I think
it's been noted that his first wife,
no,
he lost attraction to her just because she had a child.
He does.
Right.
I think the most sad part of that whole deal with him and the women that hang around him is that those women are allowing him to do things to them simply because he is that rich. And they're so fixated on what he can give them and not so concerned about what somebody think about them. Those ladies that are hanging around him are bought, including his family members. And that's just the bottom line to it. So I don't put them in the same category as the vast majority of the women that do not agree with the way he talks and the things that he does to women. So,
hey.
And you know, we have another caller who has joined from, and this caller is from 850-803. Please introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from.
Well, this is Vernon again from Florida. Okay, I've been listening at you guys, and the thing you're missing is Trump is on a road of progression. If you note that he has not only upheld Putin, he's upheld Saddam Hussein, because he said, oh, well, you went into Iraq, and you messed that up, and look what happened. He upheld Gaddafi. And all of these people, he is moving slowly forward. He is more of a Hitler wannabe, not a Putin. He's a Hitler wannabe.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And he's doing a sneak attack. And what you also fail to realize, all the people that are surrounding him aren't stupid rednecks. He didn't get this for just by some trailer trash jumping out there for him.
Right.
He got some boys in the closet. Because down here where I live at, I know. I hear them. They love him. They love him. You know? Now, I'm not big on either one of them. I'll be honest with you. But he is a mistake. He is a mistake. And what you need to do is just like the lady from Oregon was saying, you need to talk to the young people. Get them out there this time in between time. Because he can't do anything by himself. I don't have a whole lot of faith in either party because, as I look at it, when Obama got in, a lot of Democrats, they didn't stand with him. They stood with the Republicans. So it's more of a I'm a party person. You know, if their parties they do this, they do it. They didn't want Obama to get anything done. Look when he first got in. Go back and look at the news and everything. You'll see a lot of Democrats voted against him. But now, because he's popular and his beautiful wife is very popular, they want to jump on his back now, see?
You're right. Well, you're absolutely right. And I had not put those three together, but you're absolutely right. He did criticize the removal of Saddam Hussein. He we know how he feels about Putin, and he also criticized the relationship with Gaddafi, going after Gaddafi.
Yeah,
I hadn't put those three things together, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
he is living out his reality star dream. And unfortunately, we have created a society that worships reality stars.
Well, I think
he's a bandwagoner. He's going to get on whichever wagon is going the fastest in his direction. And the reason I say that is because if you remember the election year where Hillary and President Barack Obama were trying to obtain the nomination for the Democratic presidency, then he was on Hillary's side.
He was a Democrat.
And he was saying Hillary was the best thing since sliced bread and frozen water. And he's that kind of guy that, hey, is this good for me?
Right.
Oh, no. It's right here. So now all of a sudden she's the nastiest person that he knows. This is the same person that he shook hands with and hugged and went to dinner with and hung out with her and Bill.
Invited
the whole nine yards. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
this guy, if nothing else, that should tell you right there that he is a dangerous person because he's a liar.
An opportunist.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's an opportunist.
He's anti-minority. He's anti-woman and he's anti-minority. But if you are a Caucasian woman, he's more for you than he is for a minority. That's the thing about him, you know. And the way he is moving is to excite his base. All those crazy people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I mean, look at your history. That's the same thing Hitler did. He got in with his little clique. He got in with his little clique, and he took over the army, and he threw in a coup. You know?
Yep.
I think in the end that he would be the kind of guy. He would do the very same thing that, if you know the history of the presidents, the very same thing that Reagan did. Reagan promised and promised and promised all these rich people all this stuff that he was going to do for them and everything. And when he got in there, the Reaganomics kicked in. And they was like, oh, my God, we put this guy up here, and he told us he was going to do all of this stuff, and he hadn't done jack.
They were upset
with him. And that's why they tried to, if you know that, they tried to assassinate him.
They tried
to assassinate him, but I think that's the kind of guy that he is.
I want to, we have another caller who has joined, and I want to introduce that caller, and then we have to take care of some business. We need to take a little break. Do y'all realize we've been on this show all this time and ain't took a break? I'm going to get fired. Caller 229-343, introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. I'm Joanne from Albany, Georgia.
See, my Albany folk come out for me. But
That's right.
I'm sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Better late than never. I would like to take a short break and allow some bill paying to go on. So if you guys will stay with me when we come back, we'll get back on this topic.
Okay.
All righty.
All right.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man.
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to. Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kind of love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your host, Black Coffee, and your co-host, me, The Next Level, on WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio. We're coming to you every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be keeping you up to date on current events and love and relationships. No chasers, no fillers. This is definitely classy grown folks radio, y'all. So tune in, or if you want to get involved with the conversation or just listen, call in at 516-387-1251. Black coffee, y'all. So sweet, she don't even need no sugar.
I want to say, as we start back into this segment, that we're missing Next Level tonight, and I'm missing very much. My co-host usually keeps me straight, and so if I go a little crooked tonight, it's because he's not on, so we're missing him. But I have to say that drop he did for my show makes me feel real special, and I love it. We're back. We're back, and we want to continue this discussion. I do want to say that as we talk about these things, like I said, I was trying to remain unbiased. I went out Monday morning, first day of early voting here in Georgia, and cast my ballot. On the way to work, I didn't care if I was going to be late. I wanted to make sure I got it in. Because I feel strongly, so
good
I'm not
you.
Able to hold back. I'm not able to hold back some of that bias because I think that a lot of us feel that one of the alternatives we have would put this country we are in such a state, not only with foreign policy, as Ms. Hunt said, but also domestically. Because if what we have is a dictator who is trying to get into a place so he can pillage our country, those of us who are struggling now are going to be in an even worse situation. Does anybody agree with you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes, very much so.
Because what I see is someone who has done everything that has done everything that is diabolical in business in order to maintain the zeros in his bank account without care for who he hurt, who's families he put into financial ruin, et cetera, in order to keep his bottom line healthy.
He's proven that in the business world.
Exactly.
And he'll do the same thing as the president. I mean, when you have someone who has been rich their whole life, they're already out of touch with the common man or woman. But when you have someone who's not only been rich their whole life and just absolutely does not care about anybody, you don't want that person as the president of the United States.
And not only that,
they have 300 million people
that
they have to decide what's best for and in so many different areas. And I would not want Donald Trump to be one of those people who decide that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But not only that, I mean, this guy's going to do anything he can do because he's never been poor. He's never been underprivileged.
Right.
He's going to do everything in his power, even as a president, to ensure that he stays rich and his businesses stay afloat, both the ones he has domestic and the ones he has abroad. He has a lot of companies abroad that
a
he has interest in.
Yep.
And he's going to ensure that he put things in place primarily to keep those companies from going under and ensure
yep.
that they're still functioning.
Yep.
Whether it's beneficial to the entire country or not.
Right.
A lot of the wealth that he has gained has been on the backs of immigrants, but it has also been on the backs of the middle class because he sacrificed a lot of jobs sending his stuff overseas.
Yes. Why do you think he wants the Hispanics to go back to Mexico? Because he needs people over there to work.
Yep, for a quarter an hour.
If they're all over here, then he has, or they're here and sending money back to their families over there, then now that cuts into his business. I mean, that's just the bottom line, and that's the truth of the matter.
It's all
You're
money.
Right.
It all comes down to money.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is a great businessman, but there's no way he's not presidential material nowhere
at all.
Absolutely. You cannot run this country like you run your business.
Right.
Because there are
right.
too many people involved who have to have input on how this country is run.
Right.
Yeah.
So you cannot run it like you're the boss, you're the owner.
Yeah. And you know, exactly. That's the only way he knows to operate, Joanne. I do want to put a stark contrast out of him. Like I brought him up previously. And, you know, we talk about him in business. And, Joanne, you're right. He's a brilliant businessman without ethics. But by total contrast, we have Warren Buffett, who is much richer than Donald Trump is, who noticed that his secretary paid a larger percentage of her income than he did and brought it to the forefront to fight for the rights because he didn't think it was fair. Who gives millions and millions to charities to benefit people who are less fortunate than him. Who, by all accounts, from all people, service people, whatever, that have run across him, talk about what a kind and considerate man he
Yes.
So
unlike,
you don't have to be that way in order to be rich.
Yes, unlike Donald Trump. Unlike Donald Trump did, who claimed he gave over $10 million to his own campaign. How does that make you better than Hillary? He wanted Hillary to give at least $2 million to her campaign, but and he boasted about giving $10 million basically to himself.
Really?
And he thought that was a good thing. So
really?
That gives you the mindset of this guy right there. So, I don't know.
That is something.
That's his comb over.
Honey, He dresses as the Great Pumpkin all year round with that orange skin.
This is his time of the year.
Charlie Brown been looking for years. Charlie Brown been looking for years, and he's been up there in Trump Tower. He's been up there in Trump Tower.
That's right.
y'all knew the comedian was gonna show up sooner or later.
That's right. Very much welcomed. Very much welcomed.
I
told you this is good material. This is good material.
It is.
And it's easy. It's free.
He writes it for me, actually.
He writes it for us.
But,
in this, in all seriousness, this, I add one thing, and we know I'm metaphysical and spiritual and all this. One thing I think this has truly done, though, is it has planted the seed of awakening in a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
More people are talking about the political process now than they were when President Barack Obama was running.
Uh-huh.
Many voted for him simply because he was black. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
I knew a lot about his policies and his record, because I didn't want him to get up in there and make us look bad. So before I voted, I had to make sure. But there are many, many, many people talking about the nuances of politics who had not been interested before. There are also more and more people, on whether they are melanated or not, who are recognizing what white privilege has done to this country.
Mm-hmm.
I've had conversations with people who were not people of color, who are thirsty for knowledge on what it is that they have done to help create.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So this is a pivotal point, I think, for this country. It can be a point of awakening, or it can be a point of downfall. We have to ensure that no matter what happens, that we don't allow our brothers and sisters to bury our heads in the sand once again.
Mm-hmm.
We have to continue to nurture that awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree
with that.
And I am hoping everyone goes out and votes. You know, our people, because I'm hearing, a lot of people saying, well, it is what it is. They're going to vote for whoever, they want to get. But if we got out and voted for Barack, I mean, there is no way you cannot not vote this year. It's no way you cannot not vote. I don't care if you don't like Hillary. I mean, you got to just vote for somebody, but not Donald Trump.
I agree.
That's right.
You know, I mean, honestly, I mean, I really don't want neither one of them. I mean, Hillary, she's okay.
I wanted Bernie Sanders, but you know.
I did too. You know, I'm like, it is what it is. You know, neither one of them are my favorite. Now, if Michelle had a red, okay, we good. But, you know, I mean, hands down, I would have, Michelle, I'd have been going to find homeless people. Come on, let's go vote. You know.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Know,
get them cleaned up and let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
You
wash your hands and put some lotion on it, and we go and hit this.
That's right. We're going to vote today.
But, you know, but there's just no way that Donald Trump needs to be in that office. Point blank, period.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Agreed.
All you hear is America great again. What do you mean again?
He hasn't figured out how he's going to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you mean again? You know,
when they say that, I just picture, you know, us hanging from trees and,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
kids freezing cotton and all that stuff. I said when they say let's make this country great again, that's what they mean.
Yeah, America was built on the backs of the blacks. So
exactly.
I mean, what do you mean going to make it good, great again? We ain't finna go back that way. That's for sure.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out, and I've looked back in the history books, and I've looked back on the history I've learned. I'm trying to still figure out when that era was, when it was this great.
Yeah.
You won't ever find it.
I haven't found it yet, but I'm still looking because I'm optimistic.
We are around here dancing off of a rail because I'm happy. When was
right.
that?
I think for him it was somewhere between slavery and Jim Crow.
Yeah.
Maybe. But it definitely wasn't for us.
Yeah.
So
the man is delusional.
I think that's the period he's looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he can stop looking for that because that won't be back. I think the days of the laughing barrel. I don't know if y'all know about the laughing barrel, but the days of the laughing barrel are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Just you know about the laughing barrel, right?
Yeah. No, I don't. No.
I have to give y'all the history on the laughing barrels. Then, matter of fact, the South Carolina has just recently, in the last maybe 7-8 years, taken it off of their legal law books. And the laughing barrel, just to give you a short history of it, the laughing barrel was a big barrel, looked like a big, wine barrels, the wooden wine barrels they used to use back in the day. They would put those on the corners of streets. And this was shortly after, during the Jim Crow period, we'll say. And anytime a black person would walk down the street, if they saw a white person coming towards them, if they felt the need to laugh or smile, they had to run to one of those barrels. And I can't make this stuff up. They had to run to one of those barrels and put their head in it until they were no longer laughing or smiling, because the white people thought that they were laughing and smiling at them because the slaves had been freed. So go back and look up that story on laughing barrels, in particular in South Carolina.
I'm not surprised.
Wow, and American. Okay.
And I know Jack is probably looking it up right now.
You know
if
how
I know
do.
Her. But
you
it's
know
there.
How I do, honey.
It is there.
You know me. And
yes,
I believe
that's right.
You know. These are the things, though, that we need to remind our children and generations behind us.
Absolutely.
See, because history has been so whitewashed that our children have been led to believe that having something material makes you equal. Wanting, you know, to the point where many of them are willing to do anything to receive the material.
That's right.
And we have forgotten about the richness of character. And holding on to the history, that rich history. I do not believe that there is any other race on the face of this earth that could have survived and be thrived what our race has been through over the past 500 years.
Amen.
Any other race would have been eradicated.
Yeah. That made us a very strong race, and not only physical abilities, but very spiritual. And I think that's where the fear comes from. I think white men especially know that if we ever come into ourselves and we ever wake up and realize who we are and who we were, you know, that fear of they're coming after us. I think a lot of them have that. That's why they try their darndest to stomp us anytime they get a chance.
You
keep
know,
you down
we can
because
look back at-
they know what you will do if you live up to your full potential.
Mm-hmm. Look at Rosewood. Look at Black Wall Street in Tulsa.
That's right.
Anytime we start to come into our own as a culture, there's something that comes. Look at what they did to the Black Panther Party.
Destroy it.
Exactly. We have to be aware of that. But getting back to what we were talking about the voting, with that, we were talking about, you know, Hillary not being our favorite, et cetera, et cetera. But where we can mitigate that and actually guide her is, the fact is, when we turn out in large numbers to vote,
mm-hmm.
the people we vote for want to continue to be popular with who put them in office.
Mm-hmm.
So by that token, if we turn out and we know that that she wants a second term, there are going to be some things in that we can holler out
mm-hmm.
to get some attention on.
Yeah.
Not just from her, but if we turn out for those midterm Senate elections, you think those
yeah.
senators don't want to be reelected?
No.
So that in itself gives power to our concerns.
Yeah.
That's true. We don't have to love her, but we just have to vote for the person that we believe can do the job. And I really believe Hillary can. I think she did it for 8 years. And he can do it again.
Cause her husband was up the other side. Let me
right,
stop.
He's so busy. He had two
know, I think
hands.
You need a. I think you need a disclaimer for that one.
See, that's the reason I cut it off, Victor. That's the reason I cut
yeah.
it off. I'll say. But
he was busy. He was the president, so it's
yeah,
the truth.
Yeah. But, y'all, we are running out of time. This has been great. I want to invite everybody, including Mrs. Hunt, back for next week's show so we can continue more of this discussion. I want to continue these discussions during my show because after the election, because it's very important these voices are heard.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage each and every one of you to make sure that you point people to this link so that they can come and listen to the recorded show and find out information that may help them in their decision to vote or not to vote or which candidate to choose. So please spread the information. Let's share this wisdom with each other so we can continue to nurture these seeds that have been planted. I want to thank each and every one of you for being on the panel this evening, and we have a little something special that we want you to listen to as we fade out. Good night, my love.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I'm not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where our fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let's free-"
Thank you.
The Black Coffee Show with your host, Black Coffee, and your co-host, me, The Next Level, on WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio. We're coming to you every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be keeping you up to date on current events and love and relationships. No chasers, no fillers. This is definitely classy grown folks radio, y'all. So tune in, or if you want to get involved with the conversation or just listen, call in at 516-387-1251. Black coffee, y'all. So sweet, she don't even need no sugar.